I don't have very much as far as this world's possessions are concerned, but I thank God today I have Jesus. I wonder, can you say that? He loves me. Even though I deserve to go to hell for my sin, He loved me and gave Himself for me. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. I'd like you to turn in the Word of God today to Matthew. We have two readings. This first reading is a short reading. I prayed very much when I heard I was going to be preaching here in the Martyrs. The flesh was weak, I can tell you. And I was looking to the Lord very much. And I believe the Lord has given me a word for you today. And it's the Lord's word. And I was going to read the passage of Scripture and then ask our sister Helen to come and sing and then preach. But really, the word is the message. And all I'll be doing is, hopefully by God's help, is giving the understanding of what God has already said. Because His word is the message. And it is the sermon. Matthew chapter 7. And we begin our reading in that chapter at verse 21. And we're going to read down to verse 23. And then we'll be turning over to Luke chapter 14. But just for now, we begin in Matthew chapter 7. Out in Kenya, there are very many who profess to be Christian. And I don't think it's any different even here in Northern Ireland, although I've been away now in Kenya for 6.5 years. But the Lord has impressed this upon my mind. Shallow professions, no depth to them. People who put their hand up, said a wee prayer one time, and yet they continue living like the world, talking like the world, dressing like the world. No difference in their life. Let us hear what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And then please turn over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And again, we commence our reading at verse 25 this time. Verse 25, and I would like to read through to the end of this chapter. Let's hear the words of the Lord. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassadage or a delegation and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I know that God will bless his word, because it is his unchanging, eternal word. Let's bow our heads and we'll ask for God's help now as we come to consider his word. Heavenly Father, you know, Lord, that I am nothing in myself, just a weak vessel of clay. Father, I pray that you'll cleanse me just now. Cleanse me in the precious blood. Empty me, Lord, of all that would savor of the flesh of sin. And pour out your Spirit upon me. And Father, I pray that you will speak through me to each one who's gathered in this place, and they will hear the word of the Lord. Lord, may there be a word that will go forth even just now that will never be forgotten by these people. May there be those, Lord, in this meeting, and they're cold of heart, have gotten their eyes off the Savior. There are other things that are claiming their affection. You do not have supreme devotion in their lives and in their hearts. But Father, I pray that you will speak mercifully to them today. Help them to behold the Lamb of God. Help them to understand who Jesus Christ afresh really is. And Lord, that we would lay our lives on the altar before him. What a joy it is to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, encourage your people. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your word. It's easy for us to say that we love you, but you remind us that if we love you, then we'll keep your commandments. We'll do what you say. So, Lord, have a word in season for each one. We think especially if there are those gathered and they're not saved. They're spiritually dead. And Lord, you will be the one who will have to quicken them. You're the one who can give life to dead sinners. You are the resurrection and the life. He that liveth, believeth in him, shall never die. I thank God there are people gathered here who believe that. Father, draw sinners to yourself and get glory to your great name. Take away all that would distract us from the truth of your word. For it's in Jesus' precious and all-worthy name we ask it. Amen. And amen. This message that I want to consider with you today, it's really these words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They've been impressed on my heart and on my mind more and more over this last months and even years. And as we serve the Lord in Kenya, we meet so many people. And you ask them, they're a Christian. They say, yes, I'm a Christian. They would even say they're saved. And yet there's no change. There's no difference in their lives. They're just going on about their things the same as they always did before. They have no real love for the Lord Jesus Christ. No real love for his word. No hatred for sin. No desire to follow him. To obey him. And so it's good that we get back to the Word and understand what Jesus Christ lays before us. What it really means to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. What it really means to be a true disciple. And we all know, I can't assume we all know, but I hope we all know that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't do anything to save ourselves. We're not saved by works. We're saved by God's grace. It's a free gift. But when a person is truly born again of the Spirit of God, you will see a change in that person's life. God really makes a difference in people's lives. And I want us to think about that today. And because I'm normally speaking to children, I like to ask questions because it gets us to think. So I'm going to ask you now a few questions. You don't have to put your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to give the answer, but I would like us to think just about a few questions. Can a person profess with their mouth to be a Christian and yet die and go to eternal punishment in hell? Well, we've already read this morning in Matthew. We can go back even to Matthew now. We've already read what the Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us. He says, not everyone that says, not everyone who professes me to be Lord, not everyone who makes a profession with their mouth that they're saved and that I am the Lord of their lives is truly saved. So yes, a person can profess with their mouth to be a Christian and yet still not be saved and die and go to hell. The answer is yes, based on what the Lord Jesus says. Can a person be truly saved, or is a person truly saved who refuses to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of their life? This thing's going to start making noise. Maybe if I button this. Oh! Nope, maybe if I don't button it. Can a person, let me just repeat that. Can a person be truly saved who refuses to submit to Jesus Christ as Lord of their life? Well, based on what, again, the Lord Jesus Christ has told us here in these passages of Scripture, the answer is no. Just calling him Lord means nothing unless he truly is Lord of your life. Can a person receive God's gift of eternal life, know Christ as their Savior, and yet at the same time say, I'm not going to follow you, I'm not going to obey what you say, I'll just continue doing my own thing? Can those two things be reconciled together? Is that the reconciliation that Christ died for on the cross of Calvary? So that people can make a little profession and receive the gift of eternal life in one hand and keep holding on to their sin with the other hand? Based on what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us here, the answer is no. And that is the message that needs to be proclaimed, because I believe there are many who have been deceived by the devil into thinking that all is well when all is not well. And they love the world, they love the music of the world, they love everything about the world, and yet you'll find them in a church on Sunday and there's no change, no real love for the Lord, no love for his word. The Lord Jesus Christ asked the question, It's actually a question that he used to challenge me very much to go into the mission field. Luke 6:46, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "Why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" We have no right to call him Lord if we're going to live in disobedience to his word. And yet there are very many today, and they call themselves Christians, and yet they just continue to walk like the world, talk like the world, and dress like the world. And yet what does the Bible tell us, men and women, in this meeting today? What does God's word say? Here's what God's word says. 1 John, you can look up the reference. I can quote it to you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And sadly, there are many, and they claim to be Christians, and they would say even maybe that they love the Lord, but they're living in complete disobedience to his word and to his commands. And I pray that even as this message goes forth today, there might be somebody through the internet listening to this, that God will take a hold of them and they will understand the reality of what it means to give your life to the Lord. I remember 2 years ago when we came home on furlough, my wife's sister, her little boy, he had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he came, the first thing he said, he came running to me and he said, "Uncle Rodney, I gave my life to the Lord." And I remember just shaking his hand and I just got down on my knees beside him and took his wee hand and I said, "You never forget that. That's what you've done. You've given your life to the Lord. You now belong to him. It's not about you anymore. You're now living for him. You're now following him." And as we say the Lord's Prayer, let us never forget what we're actually saying. "Father, thy will be done." It's no longer our will that is to be done. And yet there are those, and they say, "Thank you very much for the free gift of eternal life. Thank you for the fire insurance policy. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not going to be going to hell, but I'll just continue doing my own things, going my own way, having no desire to submit to the authority of God in their lives." They want Jesus to save them from hell. They don't want to surrender to him as Lord of their life. They want to get into the kingdom of heaven, but they don't want to live under the authority of the King of heaven. And this is so contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. It's unscriptural. It's a false gospel. And I've been thinking about it a lot. I believe it's a cultural Christianity. It doesn't make any big demands. Make a wee profession, you'll be okay. Just get on with things and you don't need to, you can blend in. It's a cultural Christianity. It's not the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's really a false gospel. If people are preaching that, and people in Kenya are preaching that, make a wee profession and all will go well with you. You'll have a good job. That's this prosperity gospel that is so prevalent in Kenya. I don't know what it's like. We have ministers here, and I'm sure it's coming into Northern Ireland possibly as well. It's a prosperity, health, and wealth gospel. Do you know what it really is? It's a humanistic gospel. It's the gospel of humanism. Humanism says the end of all being is the happiness of man. That's what humanism teaches. The end of all being is the happiness of man. If it makes you happy, well, at the end of the day, all that matters is you. Humanism has no problem with religion. It can be Christianity, it can be Protestant, Catholic, it can be Hindu, it can be Islam. If your religion makes you happy, that's good. Because at the end of the day, the end of all being is the happiness of man. Make a wee profession, go to church if it keeps you happy. That's the gospel of humanism. What's the message of the Word of God? The end of all being is the glory of God. Completely opposite. The end of all being is the glory of God. And that's the message. And the Lord Jesus Christ here in this passage, if you're with me, please, in Luke chapter 14. You see,
here we find there was, it doesn't say in verse 25, it doesn't say a great multitude. That would have been a lot of people. If it had said a great multitude, that would have been a lot of people. You could have imagined a lot. It says great multitudes went with him. Now, I can just imagine this scene. Can you imagine the disciples were thinking, oh, things are going now. Look at the crowd of people that's coming now. The church is getting filled up now. We're going well now. We're going to have to get extra buses. That would be what we would be thinking. And I'm sure when the Lord Jesus stopped and turned round to that crowd of people that externally, outwardly, looked like they were followers of Jesus. They looked like they were followers, but they were not true followers. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not deceived. He sees right into every one of our hearts today. He knows those who are true followers. He knows those who have given their lives to him. They've understood that we can do nothing. We're sinners. We have lived in rebellion against God. We have offended God. And we have no confidence today in our flesh. But we're rejoicing in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done for us. And his precious blood that atones for our sin. He can see those who have no confidence in the flesh. You speak to anybody and they have confidence in the flesh. I go to church. I do this. I pay here. I'm good to me. They have confidence in the flesh. They're trusting in the flesh. But every true child of God all over the world today, wherever you meet them, that's the one common denominator. They have no confidence in the flesh. They'll be saying, I can do nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ, I'm rejoicing in him and what he has done for me. And I hope today that's how it is with you. I hope you're rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. These people, they'd been following, they'd been hearing the wonderful words that the Lord spoke. Maybe they'd got some of the bread and the fish, and that appealed to the humanistic side of things. That was good. They enjoyed that. Big crowds were now following. And I am sure the disciples were shocked when the Lord Jesus stopped here and turned around to this great crowd, these multitudes of people. And he says to them, he's going to tell them now what it really means to be a true follower. What it really means to be one of his disciples. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I think the disciples were shocked. I think the people were shocked. And I think it's time today, as this message is preached and God the Holy Spirit applies that word, that people in the congregations would be shocked and understand what it really means to be a true disciple, a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ demands supreme devotion. He must be first in our lives. You know, God's not interested in being part of your life. He's not interested in being part of your life. God's Son didn't step out of glory and clothe himself in flesh, born without sin, lived without sin, in absolute obedience to God's perfect law, go to the cross of Calvary and there suffer and bleed and die in our place, our sin laid upon him. He didn't do that to be part of your life, to be an accessory. He wants all of you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He wants all of you. Supreme devotion is what is required. Half-heartedness, lukewarmness. He's not interested in that. And I pray today God will bring us back to this understanding. And as our brothers, I was so thrilled in the prayer meeting this morning. Those who were in that prayer meeting were just tapping into this. It was just as if they knew what I was going to speak about. And they were praying, Lord, help us just to lay our lives completely surrendered on the altar for you. Empty us of self. Fill us with your spirit. As we've said earlier, you can't fill what's already full. If you had a bucket there full of coal and I wanted it full of water, the first thing you'd need to do is get it emptied out of all that coal and get it cleaned out, and then it can be filled with the water. And I trust even today God will take a dealing with every one of us. And you know, it's a daily thing, walking with the Lord, walking with the Lord. It's not a one-off thing. Repentance, we repent of our sin. We seek, keep walking. It's a relationship with Christ, walking with Him every day, loving Him. He loves us. Every day laying our lives on the altar before Him, putting Him before everything else. And yet this humanistic gospel is saying, make a wee profession. No big change is needed. And God will bless you with material things. He'll put springs in your cart for you, and everything will go cozy for you through life. You'll have no big problems. That's the lie. That's the lie. And we've got so many, I believe, stony and thorny ground professions. And as soon as difficulty comes and hardship comes and persecution comes, they just go away. Because they made a profession to get something for themselves. They were interested in self. It was just a humanistic profession. You see, everybody wants to go to heaven and nobody wants to go to hell. But what about repentance towards God? What about falling on our face before the God of heaven, the one who made us for Himself, the one who we've lived in rebellion against? What about getting down on our knees before Him and crying, God, have mercy upon me. I have offended you. I've lived in rebellion against you. And you've loved me and you gave your own son to die for me. The very least we could do is give our lives to Him and live our lives for His glory. Whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Man's chief end is to glorify God. It's not about what we are going to get from God. It's about what God is going to get from a redeemed vessel. And may God help us today to see that. May God help us to understand that. If any man, let's look at verse 26 again, please. I want us to understand what the Lord is saying. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, maybe you've been reading this verse, thinking about this verse even this morning, and thinking, well, Lord says, honor your father and mother. He even tells us in His word to love our enemies. So if we're to love our enemies, how could we possibly then be supposed to hate our father and mother and our wife and children and brethren? So we need to understand, what is the Lord telling us here? So turn back, please, with me to Genesis chapter 29. And I believe that in Genesis chapter 29, it will help us to get the context of what the Lord is saying. Genesis chapter 29. And the verse 30 and 31, we'll read those verses. Most of you, I'm sure, will know the story about Jacob and how he served for his wife for 7 years. He really liked her. He served for 7 years for Rachel. Verse 30, and you'll know also about what happened, and he ended up with Leah, and he ended up having to serve another 7 years to get Rachel. But it tells us here, look what it says in verse 30, and he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. Do you see that? He loved also Rachel more than Leah. Now, if you and I were thinking about that, we'd think, well, he liked Leah, but he loved Rachel more. You could say he loved Leah, but he loved Rachel more. It's saying he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 years, seven other years. But I want you to see how the Lord interprets Jacob's affection for these two women in the next verse. This is how the Lord interprets Jacob's affection for Leah and Rachel. And when the Lord, when Jehovah saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb but Rachel was barren. Now, Jacob didn't say that he hated Leah. It says he loved Rachel more. But in God's eyes, it was as though Leah was hated. And so, that helps us, I believe, to understand what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to this multitude and what he's saying to us. He demands supreme devotion. So that your love for him, when you compare it to the love you have for your wife or your mother or father or your children or anybody else in this world, it will seem as though you hate them compared to the love, the supreme devotion you have for Christ. Even your own life. Even your own life. And let us not be like Peter today and say, Lord, I would die for you, and then turn around and stumble and fall. We would need God's grace. We would need God's grace to stand if that day came. But by God's grace, we would love him more than even our own life. I wonder today, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ like that? Because that's what it means to be a true follower. That's what it means to come to him. If any man come to me, do you see that? Then I need to be first in your life. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Nothing has changed. That's what Jesus Christ requires. He is God. He's Emmanuel. He is God with us. I see our time is going by very fast, and I've got about halfway through my notes. But maybe God has just pressed the right words already in your heart and in your mind. I'm also saying that I've already said a lot of the things that are on the notes. I have a habit of doing that. And I've also been talking to you about things the Lord has just put on my heart now. Let's just refer you to one other passage, because I want you to get this very well. Verse 26. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. And it's good you connect this in your Bible. I don't know if you make little notes in your Bible, but you can connect these two verses together in your Bible. Matthew chapter 10. And you'll have the Lord's own interpretation. Let's read the Lord's own interpretation of what he has just said here in verse 26. We've tried to explain it, again from the Word of God, how Leah was not loved as much as Rachel. God saw that as hatred. Here's what the Lord... Supreme devotion is what Christ requires if you're going to be a true disciple, a true follower of his. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And I'll ask you this question today. Is there something, believer? Is there something that has taken the Lord's place? A wife? A hobby? A grandchild? Brother or sister? Anything? There's not even your own life. He has to have supreme devotion. He must have first place in every one of our hearts. And I trust today, even as we come to the close of this meeting, that is the word that God will impress upon every one of our hearts. Whosoever doth not bear his cross. You know, the cross, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth, the Romans were in authority. The cross was used for capital punishment. Every time someone walked from the judge with the cross, it ended in their death. They ended. They didn't go for some modification. They didn't go for a wee upgrade or a change or an improvement in their life. They ended. And that's when Christ begins. We have to die unto self and sin and literally give our lives to him. Know you not that you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Christ has redeemed us. And we are his purchased possession. We belong to him. And he is a jealous God, and he'll not give his glory to any other, and he doesn't want you following after or worshiping anything else, loving anything else more than you love him. And I believe today in this land, in the land of Kenya, if God, the Holy Spirit, would work in our hearts and bring us back to that place where Christ has our supreme devotion and love, everything else will sort itself out. If our ministers that are here today, if your congregation love the Lord Jesus Christ above everything else, you'll have no problem getting workers for the meetings. You'll have no problem with outreach, because Christ will be first. Nothing else will take his place. And let his work your pleasure be. What a joy it is to live for the Lord. It's no sacrifice. He is the creator of all things. And he's alive. And as our brothers were praying, he's coming back soon. And I hope God will help us to live for him and serve him. And may God help us to love him more. Eh? Do you not lament our coldness? Do you not have a desire to love him more, thinking of what he has done? May God bless his word. I'm sorry I haven't got to the end of that message, but I think God will bless it to our hearts. Let's bow our heads now. And as we leave the church, let's leave it prayerfully. We're not going to bother with the closing hymn. I was going to sing with you that closing hymn, "Oh, for a closer walk with God." You could think of the words of it, but we'll not sing it. But I pray that God will help us even to go from this house today thinking about what God the Holy Spirit has said to your heart. And dwell on that. I hope you'll come back tonight. We'll be able, by God's help, to tell you about what the Lord is doing out in eastern Kenya. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you most of all for the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Help us today. Help us, your people, to behold the Lamb of God. Melt our hard hearts in Calvary love. May Christ have first place in every one of our lives. Help us, Lord, today just to get that fresh fire from you, emptied of self, dying to self. Lord, what are we? We're nothing without you. Pour out your Spirit. Lord, revive your work again. Lord, blow upon this false gospel that's going around. The devil's deceiving so many. And I pray, Father, even from this very place here, there'll be students taught up and brought up and trained up to preach the true gospel and to call men and women to give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you have made us for yourself. Our chief end is to glorify thee. Help us to do it. Help us to do it not just for an hour on Sunday. Help us, Lord, in everything we do to bring glory to your great and all-worthy name. For it is in Jesus' precious and glorious name we ask it. Amen. And amen.